Good morning. I'll be reading from Isaiah 9, 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen the light, have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with the joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For your yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as the day of Midian. For the boot of the trampling warrior and the battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of increase of his government and of peace. Oh, and there will be no end. There will be no end. The zeal of the Lord Almighty has accomplished this.
Thank you, Christopher. Appreciate it very much. Want to just remind you, and it may look a little bit different, but we're still encouraging you to get the church app. We've changed the logo on it. You're going to be seeing that logo a little more often, but again, detailed instructions about downloading and using the app is available in the Welcome Center. So I hope that you're taking advantage of it, that, and we'll grab a copy of the instructions and get that downloaded on your phone as soon as possible. Won't you join me in one more song?
Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born.
Yes, before I get corrected, I did check the original source after I'd already turned it into David. It is go tell it on the mountain, not plural. We'll correct that for next week, so my apologies. Join me in Genesis chapter 18. I think it's neat that Robin kind of took us backwards to look at promises of God and the way they impact our present. And today's sermon, we're going to look back and talk about the way the good news that the angel proclaimed was pointing backwards to some powerful, powerful promises. Genesis chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked, they being the angels that had come to strangers, the foreigners that had come to visit him, only to discover that they were messengers from the Lord. "Where is your wife?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abram and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself, and she thought, "After I am worn out, my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" You should have laughed when you heard that, because it's really quite a good comment. Then the Lord said to Abram, and again, somewhere in the passage, we move from these visitors being foreigners and strangers to angels, and then even the Lord himself speaks through them. "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord?" By the way, that ought to be a question that rings in our minds on a daily basis. Is anything too hard for the Lord? "I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did. Yes, you did laugh." Skipping down to 17. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abram what I am about to do?" Abraham was surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on the earth will be blessed through him. "For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Won't you join Abraham, you'll forgive my confusion. We were reading Abram passages in Bible class, and I'm doing Abraham passages here in the worship service. Has these moments when God comes. Initially, it's just a come and I'm going to show you a new place to live. And he moves and God sends him again and says, come on, we're not gotten to that final place. God makes promises in Genesis chapter 15 about the power in which that he will himself intervene in Abram's life to bring about that which he has promised him. Genesis chapter 18, more and more the promise seems to be, is there going to be a child? I find it interesting that the promise to Abram, to Abraham, is the promise of a child. Just as we anticipate the coming of Christmas is about the promise of a child. And Abraham says, I don't think he's coming. Abram is concerned about the fact that he has children through servants and men in his household who will inherit rather than his own son. The visitors come. They are welcomed with great hospitality. It's a great story. You should read it, the whole thing. And they give this news that the child is coming in a year. And I think it's interesting that we kind of observe Sarah laughing from a distance. Ah, Sarah laughed. It's actually quite important because the name of the child will be Isaac, which means laughter. But note that in the same way that Mary, we'll read about in a couple of weeks, is scared because the angel's present, Sarah is scared. Somebody heard her laugh. How silly could this messenger be? And in reality, what she discovers is that the messenger isn't just kind of some stray person walking through the countryside, but it is the Lord himself. So she's afraid because she's laughed. And she lies about the fact that she laughed because she's afraid. But you know, the interesting thing is, how often do you and I look at the promises of God and laugh? The last will become first. Yeah, right. Those who do not have will be the ones who are wealthy. We look at the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes and that list of things that Jesus says those will be blessed or happy, and we kind of laugh. Now, when we get to church, we say we lie about laughing about it because, no, I have faith in all that, right? But it has always been a struggle to hold on to the promises, God. Today, it is a struggle to hold on to the promises of God. And what I can promise you, if you're going to live for another 50 years, if you're going to live for another 100 years, if you're going to live for another 200 years, the promises of God are not going to be any more difficult to hold on to. And so, we join with Noah. We join with Abraham. In reality, we can go back to the very first story. We join with Adam and Eve in placing our hope in the promises of God. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we are a people who are wishful. We are always wishing for something. We want to fill our lives up with wish lists. We confess that our wishfulness probably diminishes our hopefulness. Father, take our hearts and transform us from being a people wishing for some elusive prosperity that probably will never come, and transform us into people who hope in your promises. Even though we won't be any richer because of it, even though we won't be monetarily or socially more successful because of it, but it will tie us to you and tie us to truth and tie us to the kingdom that has been brought in and is growing and will be completed when Jesus returns. Father, may hope invade us, and as it invades us, may it be something that we share with others by the way we live and the way we talk, so that we can all point to your promises and say we're hoping in you. Pray this in the name of Jesus, and we all say, we're beginning a series called I Bring You Great News. I encourage you to start reading those early stories, Luke 2, Matthew 1 and 2, those kind of places where we'll kind of engage in this story of the coming of Jesus. But more than that, the idea, and I would encourage you to kind of be digging into your Bibles. Where does this idea of the good news come from? What are they looking for? What are they longing for? Why would the angel be so audacious as to say, when he arrives in the sky that night, to a group of shepherds whose lives are, let's just say, not the prototypical picture of what you would think a successful person might want to be made up of, appears to them and says, I have good news. And it's not that they're going to have a better meal in their stomach. It's not that they're going to have a little more gold in their pockets. It's that something is changing in the world in a way that none of those things can really ever touch. I bring you good news of great joy. Good news not just for those men in that field. Good news not just for Mary, who has been told this idea that God is coming to her and the baby she's carrying will be the Son of God. Not just the good news that Isaiah, that Christopher read so well for us. The good news that Isaiah pointed towards, that the Lord would put on His throne one who would be complete and perfect. It is the idea that good news is for everyone. Notice that Abraham is promised. Great nation's going to come from you, but not just a great nation come from you, but all nations. And again, we sometimes kind of get geopolitical about it, and we kind of think that it's just talking about this group of people known as the Jews. But the promise to Abraham is not just that all nations, your nation, the people that come from you, but that all peoples, everywhere, all different kinds of people, wherever they may be. And again, in Genesis, we've just kind of left the story of the Ark and then the Tower of Babel, where God divided people by their language, and the nations that would be spread all over the world are being represented as their origins coming from that one place. And now he says that no matter how far they're spread, no matter how different they may have become, no matter what their languages may be, and no matter what separates them, I want to come and make you a promise. A promise that is for you, that includes you, but it's a promise that's going to change everyone. A promise that's going to be a blessing to all people. It's interesting that the angel will repeat that. Good news of great joy for all people. You and I live in a world where we oftentimes kind of break pieces up and say, this is for me and this is for you. We're always worried about there being a zero-sum game, that if I give you too much, there won't be enough left for me. That is never God's equation, is it? And when He says good news to those shepherds on that night, it expands in ways that we could have never really completely imagined. Paul will go so far as to reflect on the way that that good news of the coming of Jesus breaks down all the walls that separate people and draws them to one single hope. Do you mind reading with me from Galatians chapter 3? Not a very Christmassy kind of passage, but I hope I can bring this idea home. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. And let's just be sure and say, as much as we see ourselves as God's people, and as much as we talk about we have God and we trust God and those other people need to find God, we are still the Gentiles. So we're included because of this powerful idea of the faith that Abraham showed. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Skipping on down to verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of Jesus, the promise of the Spirit, the promise that we too are part of the hopeful message that God has always been delivering. So the call is to be a people who live in hope, to be a people who live in God's good news hope. You and I are people who have heard the promises. And I would kind of tie the pieces together. Hope and faith are separated in this way. Hope is holding on to the idea of God's promise, to establish it as truth. Faith is the process of living based on the truth that we have hope in, trusting it so much that we change the way we live and act. Our hopes are in God's promises. Our faith is based on the reality of those hopes and lives trusting that they are true. So how do we live in God's good news hope? First of all, this cannot be replaced. And if you hear me say this too often, then good, I'm glad. I hope it changes us and moves us. If we're going to be people of God's good news hope, we got to go get it from its source. And its source is always going to be God. And the way He has revealed it to us is His Word. Amen? So we must drink deeply from God's Word to be people of God's hope. As we drink in His Word and as we drink deeply from His Word, we also become people of prayer. We hear it in the words that are on these printed pages, and it takes us to a place where we pray, and it becomes the language of our prayer. And we ask God, and we reach for God to say, affirm these truths in my life. If you're reading the Word of God without praying, then you're probably praying in your own words rather than God's words. And if you're praying without reading God's words, you're missing what God wants to speak to you. And if you want to find His hope, you've got to first turn to His Word. Secondly, I don't think it's enough just to reach to the source. We want the source to change us. And the promise is that as we have received the Holy Spirit, as those who have been baptized and brought into a new life, He has emptied us of our sin and He's filled us with His Spirit, and the Spirit's promise is that He will transform us. So have we asked the Spirit? Have we asked the Spirit to transform? This is key, to transform our eyes and our heart, or maybe the eye of our heart, the way that our heart sees the world around us and sees particularly what is reality, what is real. Because I can promise you that the world and Satan pushing the world in his direction is always reaching to grab your eyes and say, look, no! What God has said is not true. God's promises can't be fulfilled. But we need to be a people who, having read His Word and heard His promises and prayed that God would bring those and make them part of who we are, we also need to pray that the Spirit would transform our eyes and our heart. And that doesn't mean that we somehow put on rose-colored glasses and we don't see the tragedy around us, because the tragedy is real. But the promise of God is greater. And we need to see the tragedy in the world through the promises of God and the hope that He has said. Again, those people 2,000 years ago, I'm coming, and they were waiting. And now we, a people, some 2,000 years later, are still waiting for Him to come and make it all right. But the promise is that He will come again. Amen? And our hope rests in that promise. I'm going to come back to that idea of seeing it the way God sees it in just a second. Third, this is, I think, where we transform the hope that we hold and that we want to grow in us into hope that we can share with others. I'm just giving, maybe this is too specific, but I hope that it can be one of the ways that you can really do it in your life today and this week. Speaking to everyone that you encounter, with a view of who they can be. Who that one can be. So you're going to engage with people. My apologies for the misprint up there. Who they can be. You're going to engage with people. And when we wake up in the morning, most of the time it's kind of family that we run into. And if we engage with people first thing in the morning and all we see is what they really are at that moment, woo, breath's not good. I realize that all of you who have hair take great pride in making fun of the fact that I don't have hair, but guess what? My hair looks just as good first thing in the morning as yours does after it's all done. Amen? We don't engage with our loved ones, our family, first thing in the morning based on what they are presenting to us at that moment. We are already living into the idea that you're more than just your overnight breath and your messy hair and your wrinkles on your face from the pillow that has creased you overnight. We're already looking at, you're going to be more than that in just a little while. But see, this expands, doesn't it? Because it isn't just about morning breath and bad hair. It's about the idea that we all know that we're incomplete, but we all trust in an idea that God can do greater things with us. Amen? That needs to start in our families, husbands and wives. We're never completely all that God wants us to be for each other, but we believe that God is moving them that way. And now we reach into a world of lost people. People that don't know the Lord. And don't know that their life can't just be the sum of their circumstances and can't just be the sum of all the oppression that they sense going on around them or the sum of all the money that they can accumulate or all the status they can get and all those kinds of things. And you and I can look at them and say, I know what you can be. Maybe we don't say those words, but we interact with them. We don't interact with them because they're popular or wealthy, we interact with them because they're a child of God. And we keep great value in our conversations with them. Not because where they are and what they're doing can really benefit us in any way, but because we know that God wants them to be blessed. We speak to them. We interact with them. Not for who they are, but who they can be because of the hope that God has, not just for you and me, but for every living person. Finally, I'm asking you to grab a hold of this hope and to let the hope for God's blessing becoming a reality in our own lives overwhelm our struggles. This is a time of year that we can kind of look back and say, I'm missing people. It can be because of a death. It can be because, you know, we have that time in life where our children leave home. They spend their first holidays away from us, and they're not there to put the star on top of the tree. That's a real bummer in our house. We used to fight over which child's turn it was to put the star on top of the tree. Now there are zero children there to do that. Can we rent one of y'all to come, and we can read the story to you and all those kinds of things? You have to be light enough for me to pick up. That's the only qualification. We have struggles. We have challenges. You're right. Things are not as they should be. And that is on a global basis. That is on a national basis. That is on a community basis. And yes, it comes right home and lives with me where I am. God's call is to let His hope overwhelm and overcome the struggles. That He has more than where you are today. And He wants to make that hope the thing that drives your life. We'll let Him swallow up our struggles. By the way, this isn't painting over them. This isn't putting a little polish and gloss on it. It's just the reality, knowing the reality that God's promises, God's hope is bigger than our struggles. I invite you to engage in that kind of hope and to let that kind of hope change who you are and move into the world to bless those around you. I don't know about you, but I love it when the lights get up here. I love it when we get the boxes, and it's just always scary how many boxes come out of the attic to do all the things that we're going to do for decorating for Christmas. I like all that. But you know what? None of this is really the hope, is it? Jesus is the hope. I'm not inviting you to garland and lights. I'm inviting you to find your hope in Jesus. I don't know where you are. I don't know what your particular struggle is. But I invite you, as we sing this song, to maybe just pray one little prayer. God, I want you to help me to know your truth and know your promises a little bit better. I want you to let that transform my life a little bit more. I want that transformation to let me speak to others in that hope. But maybe, just maybe, what I need most from you today is to allow your hope and your promise to swallow up the struggle that my life is in right now. If we could help you in that process in any way, you're welcome to come forward as we stand and as we sing.
He is able for